Well, I'm Damon Talkington, in case you don't recognize me today. So, a while back, I was talking to a group of guys after we were playing ball, and we were kind of sitting down and cooling down, and I was trying to get enough energy to climb the steps to get to my car and that kind of thing. And anyway, the guys, they started talking about the church here, and many of them have never been here to church, and so we talked for a little while. They kind of wanted to know what it was like, and so I was explaining that. And then one of the guys asked me, he said, can I ask you something? I said, well, sure. And he said, if you come to Faith Fellowship, do they force you to give? And I kind of chuckled a little bit, and I said, No one's going to force you to give. And just his language told me a lot. And then he goes, do you have to give because you're a pastor? And I said, no, I don't have to give, but I do give. And then I shared with them kind of in a nutshell why I give. And so then it got me thinking. And, you know, we're finishing up the series deep, and we've been kind of hitting the high seas and looking at some of the deep blue passages, discovering some of the deep truths in God's Word. And so today's topic is going to take us into some deep waters, you know, the flood-type waters. And today I want to talk about the deep waters of giving and kind of share with you what I shared with them and had never really thought in these terms. And what I want to do is talk about why I give and how God's kind of guided me along the way. And I want to approach it a little bit different because I don't want to talk from a pastor's perspective, but I want to talk from the perspective of someone that's given their life to Jesus Christ, that has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I want to answer that question, why do I give? And right out of the gate, I think I give because I feel better about myself when I give. I'll be honest that many times our self-worth, and you can kind of think about this, our self-worth is deeply tied to our net worth. Would you say that's true? True? Yeah, I mean, the fact is, I believe most of us would agree with that statement. One of the first words that we learn as a child is the word mine, right? In fact, if you go to the nursery today, you probably hear the word mine quite a few times. The fact is that we struggle our whole lives, and I include myself in this, with that mine, mine. And so we've got this struggle with whether we're going to be givers or takers in life, and it's really a battle that we all face from an early age. I can remember thinking, I really don't want to be that taker. And in fact, anyone that knows me knows that I battle with that. I want to be a giver in my life. And I think part of it had to do with early on that feeling you have when you give. And I am sure that when I was a kid that it didn't occur to me when I was that age. But every time I would give, I was mirroring my maker. The God is a giving God. God is a gracious God. And so God gives us stuff so that it can flow through us. And as I allow things to flow, it's just a natural response. I give it. It's God's design. And I really do feel better about myself when I give. Now, I want you to be honest with yourself for just a moment. Do you get to get, or do you get to give? Because this is the deep water struggle. I mean, many of us struggle with this in our lives, but in God's economy, we get so that we can give. And when I only think about myself, well, it's about me. I become a taker. Everything's about me, 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 me. But when I think about God, it presses me and pushes me to become a giver. And so I feel better about myself. I have a healthier self-esteem. In fact, I would guess if we went around this morning, you'd say, yeah, I understand that. It's the same thing in my life. Here's the second thing. The one that I surrendered my life to, the one that I love, the one that has loved me with that ocean deep like we just listened to in the song, the one that sent his son to die on the cross for me, the one that I call Savior, the one that I call Lord, well, he instructs me to give. And so that's another reason. And this is where it gets deep, because the one that I say I love instructs me to give. And so it's not optional. It's not up for debate in my life. Scriptures, one of them says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there would be food in my house. And I know for some, they go, well, what's that even mean? I mean, what's a tithe? Well, that word's a tenth. It's the first tenth of what I make in my life. And so we bring it to the storehouse. It's the local church, the church where you attend. If you're visiting us today, this is not the storehouse for you. It's where you attend regularly. It's where God enriches your life. It's where you worship. You know, Cindy and I, you're going to find this very hard to believe. Cindy and I will have been married 30 years this November. I know, we were like little kids when we got married. But 30 years, and I was thinking about when we first got married, we made a commitment to each other, and more importantly, to God, that we would give at least 10% of what we would make each year. We would give that to God and give it to the place where we worshiped. The fact is, we would bring it to the church. And I say it that way because we weren't given it because it didn't belong to us to start with. It belonged to God. And we've come to a place, most of our marriage, where we realize, you know what, it all belongs to God. That God just allows us to be stewards of the stuff that he's put into our life. And he instructed us to bring the tithe, and so we've always done that. We just bring it. It's not really a deep thought process. It's an act of obedience, an act of love. And for me and for Cindy, that's motivation enough. But if you back up a couple verses, there's a highly motivating passage. It's a conversation. In fact, I say this is the heart-pounding one. And it says, will anyone rob God? Yet you're robbing me. See, God's talking here. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings. You know, not only do we rob God, I would add to that, and this really speaks to our heart, we rob ourselves. We rob ourselves. And this is important, I think, to understand. It kind of fits into the whole process. Why would God instruct us to bring the tithe? Well, because God wants us to live life to its fullest. Big life. You know, we talk about abundant life. You know, God wants us to discover that amazing agenda that he has for our lives, and he has it for every one of our lives. You know, and generosity, it's core. It's core to who God is. It's core to what God wants to do in our life. And I said it earlier, when we go about that process, we start reflecting God. We reflect God's character and God's nature. You know, in the early years when we were married, we'd bring the tithe. And I'm going to just talk openly here. We had a very meager income. And so it was pretty easy to write the check and give it because it wasn't a lot. I mean, it was like, oh, okay, this is easy. But as our income grew over the years, then we started having to increase our giving. We would increase to meet the tithe. And then several years ago, and I think I've shared this before, but the Holy Spirit started prompting Cindy and kind of pressing on her, that the biggest check that we would write each month would be to God. And so she started a process for us and started upping the percent each year. And now we're 16, almost 17% during when we were raising money for the new addition. She got us up in the 20% range. And how do you say this? If I think about it very long, I think, wow, you know what I could do with that money? And, you know, I have those moments. See, I'm not a whole lot different than you, but I have those moments. But the fact is, I give because it makes me feel better. And I give because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and He instructs me to give. And so I do it. Nobody forces me, but I want to be generous. I want to do that because of what God has done for me through Jesus Christ. And once you realize the depth of God's love, once you realize how deep that ocean really is, once you own it, that love presses you to be a giver in your life. You know, God instructs me to give. Why? Well, I think part of it keeps me in a place where God is able to look and He goes, you know what? Your money, your wealth, your resources, you're putting it where your heart is. And so there's a sync up that happens where all of a sudden what I say, what I do match up. And so we give regularly, we give generously, and so it is. Here's the third thing. We give because I think it keeps us in a blessed place. And I want to be very clear on this because I think we throw that word blessed around a lot. I mean, a lot. People go, you know, may God bless you. You know, you're blessed. You know, oh, this is a blessing. But what's that mean? I mean, the fact is that word blessing, it means to be on the receiving end of the tangible and the intangible favors of God. And usually when people talk about being blessed, they're talking about the intangibles. You know, things like peace, joy, contentment, things that you can't really see, you can't feel them, you can't touch them. But they're there, and God does bless that way. And those things, you can't even put a price tag on those things. They're huge. But God also blesses not only just the intangibles, but there's the tangibles that God blesses with. In other words, matter matters. God made the world. God made absolutely everything. If you look around you, there is nothing that God's hand did not create and make. And so if I'm in that blessed place, I receive both the tangible and the intangible favors of God. And anybody that's been a part of the church knows I do not teach, oh, give God a dollar and He's going to give you $10. You know, some say prosperity ministry, but I don't teach that. But I will tell you that there are material blessings that come into your life. There is the intangible and the tangible. And if I was to take this morning and just talk about how God's blessed, I could spend the entire morning talking to you about ways God's blessed me through all the years that I've been faithful and followed. I remember we hadn't been married about 6 months. I told Cindy, she said, I can't be a pastor's wife. You sure you're not going back in ministry? I said, absolutely not going back. Don't worry about it, honey. But I remember God started pressing. The Holy Spirit started calling me, saying, you need to be back in ministry. And I was working at the post office at the time. I was making great money there. And going back in ministry meant taking this huge, huge financial cut. And so we started scaling back as a family. I mean, big time. We sold our home. We got a cheaper car. We were cutting back any way and every way that we possibly could. And I mean, it was skinny. It was skinny. We got the call to pastor three churches. And we went. It was a 3-point charge. And one of the first people we met came up to us, a very gracious woman. And she said, "I've got a condo down in the Florida Keys. It's right on the Bay of Florida. Anytime you want to go down there, you just let me know and you can go anytime." And friends, we did that for 20 years, more than 20 years. We vacationed there. Those early years, we couldn't even went on vacation. I know people hear a story like that and they go, "Oh, well, that's a coincidence." Well, Cindy and I know better. That was God's tangible blessing in our life, big time. You may go, "Well, that's an extreme case." Again, I could spend the morning, I could start sharing with you stories after story where God has blessed. I wasn't looking for it. It just fell in our laps somehow. That's how God works. Scripture says one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but becomes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. This is the crazy thing about giving. When I understand that God wants to work through me and all that he's given to me, when I give to the church, when I give to other people, when I see a need, when I take that step, it refreshes me. It breathes life into me when I give freely, when I give joyfully. It's God's economy. God works very different here. Once again, it says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house." We read that earlier. It goes on, says, "Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates." See, I told you it was going to be a flood. "Floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there's not room enough to store it." It's the only place in the Bible where God says, "Test me." Where God says, "You know what? I want to challenge you. Just see if this isn't true." In other words, when I read that, I think, I don't want to be a dam. I don't want to be a reservoir. No, I want those floodgates open in my life. I want things to flow through me like water flows. You know, I get to choose. God says, "Test me. Give the tithe. Go ahead. And see if I will not open up the floodgates. See if I won't pour out blessings. More than you can imagine. More than you can store. More than you can deal with." It's almost mind-boggling, but it's a promise from God. And so when I give, it keeps me in that blessed place. I call it a safe place. I call it the sweet spot of life. Again, it's in God's economy. Here's another thing about giving. It breaks the back of materialism. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Does anybody struggle with materialism? Come on, get your hands up. You're lying to yourself if you don't. We all do. We all do. I the fact is, I know as I'm saying that, some of you go, "Not me. Not me. Uh-uh. He's crazy, isn't he?" Friends, we all struggle. We all struggle. I see it across this country. I do not care if you live on a farm or you live in a penthouse, whether you live in the River Bend area, St. Louis area, New York, or Rodeo Drive. We struggle. It's a struggle in this life. Materialism's that preoccupation with things. You know, materialism's that obsession with possessions. You know, "These are my things. Oh, man, I want that. I got to get that." Do not misunderstand me. The fact is, there's nothing wrong with things. In fact, there's nothing wrong with nice things, really nice things. There's nothing wrong with that. The fact is, you just can't let it define you. You can't let it dictate how you live your life. You know, first of all, it's not your stuff. It's on loan. God's given it to you. You're a steward. God allows you to be a steward of the things you possess. I know some of you are going, "But it's mine. It's mine." No, it's not. It's not yours. the day you draw your last breath, you will find out it's not yours. Because you're not going to take it with you. But you can send it ahead. How? Well, by regularly giving it away. You know, the fact is that, you know, people hear me talk about giving something away and they go, well, I'm good with that. I'm not talking about the used up stuff. I'm not talking about the worn out stuff or the mangy stuff in life. I'm talking about the good stuff. You know, the stuff that we have that we go, that's mine. This is mine. See, do your possessions, the stuff you have, do you possess it or does it possess you? You know, is it gain and obtain? Is that kind of your MO? Because I've learned you hold things loosely. Materialism begins where my income ends. And I mean, that's something some of you will get it about noon today. You go, oh, that's what he meant. But the fact is, it's always interesting to me. I talk to people, and let's just say someone drives the same car that you drive. And so you look, you do not think, wow, they're materialistic, do you? Let somebody get a car that's a step up or two from where you are, and all of a sudden we go, well, now they're materialistic. I'm not, because I got this, but they got that. And the fact is, that just messes us up. It's true. We think like that, unfortunately, but that's kind of how our minds work. But that's where I think we get messed up. You know, I've judged people before. You know, I've watched, and then I'll go, man, they're materialistic. And every time I've done that, God's Holy Spirit just kind of starts working on me. And it usually starts out with just that gentle whisper, Damon, you do not know if they're materialistic or not. And then it'll press a little harder and go, Damon, Quit worrying about everybody else. Quit comparing to everybody else. Deal with your own stuff. Hold your stuff loosely. Audience of one. Audience of one. Material things are fine. But it's the ism that messes us up. And here's the other thing about giving. Giving is an adventure, I've figured out. You know, people will catch me once in a while. They say, you know, Damon, how can I see God alive in my life? I want to see God work through me. And I will say to them, and it's usually just about the same thing. I'll say, you know what? You need to read your Bible every day. You need to read your Bible, pray regularly. You get to know God that way. You need to be at church every week and worship God and learn and be a part of the community. You need to serve on a team. You need to get in a small group of some sort. And then I'll usually say, and you need to start giving. Now, here's the deal. After you take that step of, you know, reading your Bible and praying and being in worship and getting to know God, I think one of the quickest ways you can see God move in your life is to give. And in fact, God has shown me through the years amazing things when I've been faithful to that. Says, tell them, Paul's writing this, he says, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God's given them. By doing this, here we go, by doing this, they will store up real treasures for themselves in heaven. It is only the only safe investment for eternity, and they will be living a faithful, fruitful Christian life down there as well. When you give, I believe it's life-changing. You start planting seeds in eternity. You're sending it ahead. And this church has had a history of sacrificial giving. All this that you see around you, if you haven't been here from the beginning, all of it had to do with people giving. It didn't just happen one day. I didn't wake up. The church didn't go, wow, look what we got. You know, the fact is a lot of people sacrificed to make things happen. People sacrificed because they believed the message of Jesus Christ was what the world needed, that they could change lives, they could change families, they could change eternity. And when I say sacrifice, I'm not talking amount here. You know, sacrifice is really about what's left after we give. The greatest sacrifice very well may have been someone giving $1,000. I mean, it might be a greater sacrifice than $25,000 or $250,000. It's how God works. It's the economy of heaven. You know, when I give, I get in on the adventure. God's blessed me as I've watched the ministries grow at this church and lives changed. I mean, Cindy, I think, would stand up here and say the same thing. And it's been bigger in our life than financial blessings, that God's blessed us relationally and occupationally and spiritually, things money can't buy. And when I look around, I think, well, it's the best investment we ever made. You know, God's getting that stuff to you so it can go through you so that you can empower the church and be a part of the adventure. And here's another thing. I think God tests us. He tests us with things. Does he ever test you with things? I mean, every day God watches to see how we use the stuff that he's given us, how we use the talents that he's given us, how we use the time, the resources, the money that he's given us. He looks to see if we're investing in his kingdom or if it's just about our kingdom. You know, and it is a test. It's a heart issue. You know, God's going to ask someday, some shape or form, he's going to ask us, he's going to say, what did you do with the things that I loaned you? How'd you invest them? You know, did you hang them on your wall? Was it all about you, all about your home, all about your stuff? Or was it about my kingdom? You know, did you neglect my kingdom? And I believe it's a unique individual who stands and says, you know what, I understand. I understand it belongs to God. I understand it comes from God. I understand God's dispensing it. And therefore, I'll do what God's asked me to do. Yeah, I've wondered, what if everyone here, we all started thinking that way? You know, if we started viewing all of our stuff, whatever it is, as a test. It's not just how can I give more, it's really how can I use everything that I have for the kingdom of God to make a difference in not just this life, but in eternity. Can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine if we started thinking that way? It would be a game changer. It would change the whole trajectory of the church. I mean, it would just explode. So when you have an opportunity to give, it wouldn't be, oh boy, here we go again. But it would be that sense of, okay, God, what was it you want me to do? See the difference? I mean, big difference. You know, it's God, I want to be faithful. You need it? I got it? Okay. Every time I pass the test, every time I'm faithful, obedient, every time I freely give, God uses it. I'm part of a great adventure, and it's been a great adventure here. There's something else I thought about. I really want to be an example to my kids and grandkids. How many of you got kids? Grandkids? Yeah, isn't it funny how things change as the grandkids come along? But I have always wanted to be an influence in their life. And I've wanted them to be very gracious with how they live. And I realized early on that values are caught more than they're taught. How many of you that have raised your kids know that's true? I mean, you look and you go, wow, I never taught that, but they caught it. They figured it out. I want my kids and my grandkids to live lives that are generous. And I'll tell you, and maybe this is just grandpa, and my heart gets softer and softer all the time, but when I see my grandkids give, whether it be at church or they spend their money on someone else, or, you know, sometimes they'll spend it all. They'll go, well, you've worked real hard. I know, but I want to get this for so-and-so, you know. I cheer them on. I cheer them on. It touches my heart because I realize they're not going to be dams. They're not going to be reservoirs, but they're going to be allow God to work through them and to make a difference in other people's lives, that they already are beginning to understand that they're being blessed so they can be a blessing. We're all blessed. Now, different stacks of stuff, definitely. But forget about how big your stack is, how small your stack is. We are blessed to be a blessing. I want my kids and my grandkids, I want them to be a blessing. I want to mark my kids and my grandkids in a way that they go, you know what, I want to be a giver too. And here's the last thing. I give because I love the vision of Faith Fellowship. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, he says, and I tell you, he's talking to Peter, he says, you're Peter. And on this rock, I will build my hospital. I will build my university. I will build the government. It doesn't say that. What's it say? I will build my what? Church. I love it. Jesus zeroes in on what is important. He takes all the guesswork out of it. He says, the church. And friends, the church, the message of Jesus Christ, is the hope for this world. And that's why I direct the lion's share of what I give to build the church, to help build the ministries of Faith Fellowship. This is where change takes place. This is where you find hope in the world. Look around you. How many of you have looked at the world lately? It's a mess. It is a mess. Things are spinning out, and it's getting worse all the time. And I'm an optimist, the ultimate probably. But it's bad. The church is the best investment you will ever make. It is the hope for this world. It's the hope for our country. It's Jesus Christ, period. Changing lives, making a difference. And friends, we have an opportunity to invest in something eternal and something that makes a difference. It's the best investment I can ever make. If you've been around here for a while, around this church, you hear me talk a lot about marking eternity. If you've ever got a letter from me or a note, I always sign up, marking eternity. I have for ever since I was a teenager. That's been my sign-off, marking eternity. Because I believe that's what I was born for, to mark eternity, to make a difference in this world, make a difference in people's lives and families because of the message that Jesus Christ, that he died for us, that he loves us, that he's got a future for us. And friends, I will tell you, that is what I will do with my life. If you've come from other backgrounds, have you noticed around here, we do not have plaques on things? You know, we don't have plaques on the furniture. We don't name rooms. We don't do any of that. And I'm not pot-shotting that. I'm just saying we don't do that. We don't have a thing that says given by so-and-so or such-and-such a family. And people will catch me once in a while and go, why don't you do that? Well, it's by design. Partly, it eliminates ego. Gets rid of pride. You know, hey, look what I did, you know. But it also strikes at the heart to remind us that we play to an audience of one. We live life to an audience of one. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, hell, you can put there, will not prevail against it. You know, how does Jesus build the church? He gives stuff to us, so we can pass through us, and that's how he builds it. God blesses. We're to be a blessing. Faith Fellowship, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. And God's been doing stuff through us. And he's changing lives. And he's strengthening families. And he's making a difference in children's lives. And changing the River Bend area. in marketplaces, I mean, all around the world through us, through missions and our giving and what we do, marking eternity through faith fellowship and through all of us. And for me to be a part of that and what God's doing, it's an amazing thing. I play to an audience of one. Now, I live audience of one. I make money, audience of one. I save, audience of one. And I give, audience of one, period. And I guess I think about it more these days as I get older, but, you know, one of these days I will take my last breath. And the next moment I will wake up in eternity. And friends, I want the God that I love and the God that I serve. You don't even know how much I want to hear him say, "Damon, well done. Well done, good, faithful servant." I long to hear that. And I want to hear him say, "You know what? You were a good steward. You were a good steward with everything that I gave you. And you were generous with your life. And you gave freely. And you did what I wanted you to do. Well done, well done." Friends, I long to hear that. And so that's why I give. And I didn't share that long of a thing with the guys at Ball that night, but I kind of hit those points, and so I thought I would share them. But that's why I give. That's why. And so I just kind of pose to you, how about you? How's that fit in your life? Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Next week, I'm excited about our series. We're going into I Think, and we're really going to talk about that whole decision-making process that we go through, and you know what's God call us to as Christians as we're making decisions. I think you'll find a lot of practical information, stuff. Maybe you got some decisions in your life that you go, "Man, this is tough waters. I'm not sure which." I guarantee you'll get something out of that series. So let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, we thank you. God, we thank you, your son that you willingly gave. God, we thank you that I can't even imagine the love that was involved in that. But I'm thankful for it. God, we praise you. You are amazingly gracious and loving. And God, I pray that we would reflect that in our lives, that God, we'd be the people that you've called us to be, that you created us to be. God, we thank you for all the opportunities you placed before us. Pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us as we live this life. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise this day and every day. God's people said. Let's continue worship with our song, Ocean.